Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. Yeah. Glory. Gee. Anyone stuck to my lip? Hallelujah. It's hot in here, isn't it? Everybody agrees? Turn it up. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing. It's coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season. Coming to me, you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you're one in the spirit, we're all me's. Isaiah 19. Oh, yeah. O parabakasa shandokaya. Isaiah 19, in verse 1, the burden against Egypt. Egypt plays a vital part in the last days. In fact, I think it was a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago or something, a prophecy, because the Lord usually gives us a word for the beginning of the year. And one of the words was speaking about how Egypt would turn its back towards the United States, and United States would begin to turn its back towards Egypt, but it would be in a different arena because now United States is, Egypt is a mess, and United States is now providing for Egypt in military things. But Egypt in the end times is going to be a vital part, not only physically, but most of all, spiritually. And it says, this is a burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence. And then the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother and everyone against his neighbor. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt, everyone say the spirit of Egypt, will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel, and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums, and the sorcerers. And the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master. A fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. Now, the spirit of Egypt is associated with false worship, idolatry. It is no. It is from a. I'm going to go a little bit further back because it is the tribe of Nephilim hybrids. I don't know if you've ever seen what they wore then. And when it says Egypt, he's going to cause Egyptians war against Egyptians because there are true Egyptians and there are not true Egyptians. But if you ever notice some of the things that they wore, they always wore these high things. In fact, some of our churches these days wear the same things. I'm not going to get so much into it, Catholicism. But some of them wear the same things as the Egyptians did in that arena. What they had to do is cover up their cone heads, you know. And then they have the serpent on the front. Because it was associated under the serpent god. And they worshiped many idols. And they did many strange things in magic and mediums and sorceries and all sorts of things like that. They proclaimed themselves as gods. And they interbred with each other, maintained their pure bloodline. And in this, we are going to see that there is a spirit of Egypt that is not only over the world, but has penetrated the United States in a phenomenal way. They were they maintain a royalty bloodline, what they call. And then, of course, eventually they began to crossbreed to disguise their form. They carried a Babylonian system of dictatorship and forced labor to those not of their blood. So what's happening here is we see that the spirit of Egypt is a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit. In the book of Exodus in chapter 6, if you'll turn there, please. In fact, the word Egypt has multiple meanings. One of its meanings is oppresses, anguish, and troublesome. They used to call Egypt Mirs. That was its other name, Mirs. They were known as a people of black land. And it was known as people because the soil was so rich there. Now, we know that there's a lot of things that have happened in Egypt. They were a cultural that actually started almost 2600 B.C. In fact, even the pyramids were built in 2600 B.C. And I'm not going to get into the pyramids right now because it's pretty crazy. But it's an intense study, and there's so many multiple areas of pyramids and what they were used for and their functions. But even the pyramids that were built survived the flood from God. So if you think about this, you know, in fact, they're still standing now, aren't they? In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2, would you read it with me? And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. In other words, in this arena, it was a spirit that brings people into bondage under false religion, false worship, idolatry. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as an heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. So we see here that because of what they had been through already, it was very difficult for them to believe that there was a way of escape. This way of escape, I want you to understand that all of this is parallel to the rapture also, because the spirit of Egypt would have to be so strong, because these are parallels. Remember, the Old Testament is things that shadow what's getting ready to happen. And we see that right now the spirit of Pharaoh is ruling. And in the spirit of Pharaoh, which is a dictatorship, there is a spirit of Egypt that's the false religion. And in the system is a Babylonian system. So right now we're seeing all of this false worship in many ways. You can see it on TV when they're covering the eye. All of that is associated with Egypt. In fact, Egypt and Ra was, they put the hand over the eye like this or the circle. That's associated with worship to Ra. Now, we know that because of the bloodlines and so forth, it's the all-seeing eye known as the Illuminati, which is just part of the bloodline that's way down, way down in time, which we have now. But we're seeing everything associated with the spirit of Egypt is being manifested. People are dressing like Egyptians. You're seeing all kinds of things that are promoting Egypt, shoes, and all of these things. People don't even realize because they just think it's the style. Well, who's bringing these styles in? What's its purpose? You know, think of how the Egyptians were. They were the shaving of the heads, the earrings, the all of these things, the pointed shoes, the clothing, and the jewelry, and you know, everybody wants to be a Mr. T starter kit, you know, and all of this stuff, and so all of these areas and everything's about materialism, and that's what Egypt was about, materialism and worship of false gods, worship the worst idol is self. Amen. Spiritual bondage and physical bondage through the spirit of Egypt, which is a religious spirit because it brings false worship. In Exodus 13, in verse 3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the what? House of bondage. So this is a spirit that brings people into bondage. Their own temple, their house is brought into bondage because of false worship. Now, Egypt also represents the world. The world is known as a house of bondage. It's under the rule of Satan's kingdom. The ruling spirit is Pharaoh. The religious spirit is Egypt. And the system that is backing everything is Babylonian system. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep the service in this month. Now, understand that when the Lord is moving them to another place, he's moving them. There's an exodus from this religious bondage. Remember, they were not allowed to go out and worship the Lord. They were under slavery for 400 years. They could not go out and build an altar to the Lord and worship him. They were commanded to worship their gods. And we see that there are things that are happening right now, that there is persecution to believers and Christians, even in this country, and the spirit of Egypt is trying to prevent believers from worshiping their true God. They're taking everything associated with the true God out of everything that's printed. They're even trying to remove the Bibles. They're trying to do so much stuff that they're trying to do that people have no idea what's going on. I mean, you don't see the Bible being promoted as the number one seller on the book stands when it is every year. It's the number one selling book every single year. But you don't see it promoted, you know. I mean, you know, they try to take it out of hotels. Remember, you used to go in a hotel and you'd see the Gideon Bible. They're trying to remove it from hotels. People are getting arrested in other countries for bringing a Bible in a hotel. So know that the spirit of Egypt is trying to squash us believers, true Christians, from truly worshiping the Lord. Now, through the Babylonian system, yes, but through impression, oppression, deception, all of these areas, you know, anything that we put before God is considered an idol, even ourselves. Amen? So in this, he says, look it, I want you to remember this. He said, no leavened bread shall be eaten. What was he doing? He was introducing the feasts, because the feasts are associated with the rapture also and all events that would be happening. So on the day that the Lord released them from Egypt, leaving the house of bondage, was considered one of the days of Passover, and then fell right into unleavened breads. Because what they do, they sacrifice the blood, the lamb, put it on the lintels of the door. And then anyone that didn't have the blood covering, their firstborn was killed. Firstborn of their children, the firstborn of their animals was killed by the spirit of death. Finally, Pharaoh released everyone. And what did they leave with? They left with treasures. They left healthy. Well, I can tell you there's no sickness in heaven. And the treasures are souls. What you do here now, it's souls. How many people you bring into the kingdom, you're not judged by that. But the treasures that you build are in heaven now, not here. Everything's about expanding the kingdom of God. That's why one of the things the Lord is asking us today is to be a witness. Well, if you're not free, how can you be a witness? Amen? Because then you can't give what you don't have. I mean, you can always write a letter, I guess, you know. But that's not much of a witness. Hallelujah. What God used to do for me? Hallelujah. So we see here that in this, as they were leaving the house of bondage, Egypt, known as, okay, so you had the three feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, or what they call weeks, Feast of Weeks. There was plagues, there was famine, there was death. All of this was released from God as his wrath came upon Egypt. Amen. And we're going to see the same thing. That's why I truly don't believe that we're going to be raptured before tribulation. If we are, praise God. I believe that we're going to be raptured in mid-tribulation. At least I hope. And if we're not, then we're all the way to the end. Just make sure you're loaded up, filled up, and powered up. Yeah. Deuteronomy 5. The spirit of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the what? House of bondage. You shall have no what? Other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God and am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So we see here it was a command of the Lord. There shall be no other idols. We shall not worship any idols. Amen. In Deuteronomy 7. In verse 6, it says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out of with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So we see here that in this, as the Lord removed them from there, it wasn't because of anything but because of his pure love. How many all been rescued by his pure love? Amen. You've been rescued from hatred and the powers of darkness and the deceptions of false religions, idols. And even when we were stupid out there, he still loved us. He's just been waiting for us to say, wake up. I'm not against you. I'm with you. He's just waiting for us to turn to him and grab hold of him. But don't let go. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 41. House of bondage is the spirit of Egypt, the Babylonian system, which is the world now. We are in it right now. Isaiah 41. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41 and verse 24. Indeed, you are nothing and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun he shall call on my name. And he shall come against the princes as though mortar, as the potter treads clay, who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and a former times that we may say he is righteous. Surely there is no one who shows. Surely there is no one who declares. Surely there is no one who hears your words. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are, and I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. For I looked, and there was no man. I looked among them, but there was no counselor who, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Indeed, they are all worthless. He's talking about idols. They are works of nothing. These molded images are wind and confusion. They're what? Wind and confusion. I'm telling you, one of the things that these accursed items bring is confusion. They bring confusion. And that's one of the ploys of the enemy. That spirit loves to bring confusion. First, he likes to bring deception, confusion, discouragement, all of these. Why? So that people turn from God and begin to worship themselves and other things. Did you ever realize what happens when somebody, you know, they go through something, right? So they may go through something and having some troubles. Now, they may run to the refrigerator and eat more. They may call. They may go to the liquor store. They may go shopping. They may go to the drug dealer. They may have to go out and buy a new car or buy a new toy or a material to make themselves feel better. But the first thing that must be done is that we must deny ourselves and grab hold of the Lord no matter what. That's it. Because he's the only one that can fulfill. He's the only one that can counsel and truly direct us. That's it. But we have this tendency for self-fulfillment, and it's nothing but deception. And the end result will be confusion all over again. That's it. Confusion all over again. You know, in that, the enemy begins to push when the Holy Spirit's trying to lead. How about when something happens right away, the first thing we want to do is fix it. I need to fix this. I need to fix what? Ha. It's the I song, you know. We can't do anything. Every time we try to fix something, we mess it up, and the fix it expands. So one of the things we must do is step back. Again, one of the things that we've been sharing is grab hold of react and choke it and wait for response to come. Amen. But so many times we grab hold of response and let react lead. But it's really not leading, it's pushing us. And we're tripping over our feet and doing stupid stuff, saying things, calling things. And later when we finally settle down, we're going, man, why did I do all that stuff? Anyways, that's the ploy of the enemy. That's what he tries to do. He tries to get us in an anxious state so we miss God. And then what he tries to do, when we do this, we worship false gods. Because what do we just do? We put everything before him. Those are called idols. So your shopping may be a cure to you, a temporary cure, but that is an idol. Your alcohol or addiction may be a cure to you, but it's not. It's a lie. It's an idol. And I'm going to tell you something. It's offensive to the Lord. And you're not gaining his trust. Well, when I get upset, I go to the refrigerator eating 10 pounds of donuts, granola bars, frozen. No, man. That's idolatry. Why? Because we're putting ourselves before God. Instead of laying ourselves before him, we're putting ourselves before him. Amen? We can't fix it. Everyone say, I can't fix it. That's why we always need the leading of the Spirit. Why? Because he guides us to all truth, doesn't he? So we need to step out of Mr. and Mrs. Fixer Upper and turn it over to the true fixer. Amen? At least wait until you know what you're supposed to do. But don't just run. Don't react. Wait to respond. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 11, you know, when the President of the United States was inaugurated, he and on the stage and everything, when they had their conventions and so forth, there was the big temple of Zeus that was actually there. And they had the horse and everything. Zeus is actually a representation of Satan in Greek. So when we see Zeus, it's a representation of Satan in Greek. And so his altar is associated with Satan's altar. And we're seeing all of the, in other words, in the Egyptian hieroglyphics and all the other stuff, you see all kinds of prints and engraves, stones and all kinds of stuff of technology. You see all of, and it's not just in Egypt. It's in multiple places in the world. And usually where these multiple places are pyramids. So there, we know that there's association with these things. But Egypt has the largest pyramid and some of the most powerful artifacts that have been found. They're still finding things out there today underground and underground caves, underground cities, and all kinds of stuff that they're, it's just phenomenal, the things that they're finding. And again, Egypt plays a very powerful, powerful place. And even the Lord talked about being the chief cornerstone. And that cornerstone is associated with Egypt or a pyramid. And I'm not going to get into that today, though. Revelation 11. Hallelujah. That the builders rejected. Well, who were those builders?
I love it.
Revelation 11, chapter 4. All right, let's start at 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Then I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth, which will be 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies." So listen, don't think that you don't have power coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. "If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven, these two witnesses, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. They have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with plagues as often as they desire." It sounds like the times of Moses in Egypt. "When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Now, we know that the Lord was crucified where? In Jerusalem, right? Amen? We know it was Golgotha, the location. But in this, it was considered Jerusalem. And so we see there that he is not talking about the place, he's talking about the spirits behind all of this, of the spirits of Sodom and the spirits of Egypt, which we are dealing with right now. It said, "And then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet." I love it. "And great fear fell on all those who saw them. And then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, 'Come up here.' And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw it." These are things that are getting ready to happen. These two witnesses will most likely be here for the first 3.5 years of tribulation. So we should be here while these two witnesses are in Israel. Their purpose is to be in Israel witnessing, in Jerusalem and witnessing. And we will be the witness everywhere else through the world. And once we are all taken, then 144,000 witnesses will be sealed, and boom. Is everybody okay? Spiritual Sodom and Egypt, these are the ruling spirits of false worship, perversion. They are hybrids that were not Jews. In other words, many of them were in Sanhedrin, but they were really not Jews, even though they said they were. In 1 John chapter 2. Now, did you think Jesus knew all of this was getting ready to happen? Of course he did. He's been trying to tell his children over and over and over. That's why in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, which we know this by heart by now, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So only those who do the will of God will abide forever. Abide. "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, but by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. So we see here that the world is ruled by Antichrist system. That is the Babylonian system and the ruling spirit of Egypt. He is the religious spirit. Now, if you begin to really start to look at some other places, most likely the false prophet, the religious spirit, will come out of the Vatican, because it is one of the most demonic areas in the world. What do you mean? Well, man, you go there and see what's all over the place. You just have to look at all the statutes, all the writings, and everything else. You go and look, you go down to Washington, D.C., and you look at all the gods and goddesses and all the garbage that's there. And they are parallel. United States and the Vatican itself. You look at the whole city there, they are parallel to one another. So we see that the spirit of Egypt has been around a lot longer than the Vatican. But we know that because of the interbreeding, their bloodline has been established, and then their breeding with others, it's been spread. And this is where we got the associated also with the 13 bloodlines and so forth. Why? Because they're now able to fit in certain areas. And 2 Kings 17. In verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they feared other gods, and had walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out from before the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel which they had made. Also the children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. And they built for themselves high places in all their cities, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. They had burned incense on all the high places, like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. And they did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served what? Idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all his prophets, every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I command your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets." Nevertheless, they would not hear but stiffen their what? Their necks, like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. In other words, they drifted away. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimony which he had testified against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, and went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves, made a wooden image, worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and soothsaying, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord and to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. In other words, God turned his back on them. See, when we begin to do these things, that's what begins to happen with us. He begins to lift away from us when we begin to put idols in our life. And why? Because it becomes a false worship. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us, but he doesn't associate with it. He steps away from it. Amen? So in this, we see that there was perverse murder, rebellion. There was bewitchment. There was lying and worship of man, not of God. They made gods of men and material and even intellectual knowledge. And they sold their souls for fame. and fortune. And we see all of this happening right now in an escalating tremendous way. Why? Because the spirit of Egypt, which is a religious spirit, is infiltrated in a tremendous way. But we know that it must come. We know that all of these things must escalate before the Lord's return. So we must be careful. We must be aware of it. In Revelation 14 and verse 9, read it with me, please. You know, when these spirits bring delusion, it brings false image. It brings a false image, because delusion is associated with false image. In verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the practice of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works," what? "Follow them." In Revelation 19, spirit of Egypt. A lot of false worshipers out there that are calling themselves Christians. They're still worshiping all kinds of other things. Revelation 19:19. Would you read it with me? "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." And I'm going to close at Revelation 20. Start at verse 1. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And they laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be what? Priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then it says, after that, now 1,000 years has expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations again on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth. In other words, they came up from in the earth and camped and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Hallelujah. What a wonderful ending. "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. That is called eternal damnation." Amen. The spirit of Egypt. Now we know that what's going on with the spirit of Egypt. That's why we're seeing so much about Egyptian stuff going on right now. And it's been going on, but it's really escalating in a much, in other words, they're like coming out of the closet everywhere. You know, and if you think about even in that period of time, homosexuality was accepted. That's associated with the spirit of Egypt because it's a false belief system. It's a perverse system. That spirit also entered into the area of Ephesus, and Paul had to deal with it. But it was associated with the spirit of Diana. So all of these spirits, now I want you to understand something important, because these spirits have a tendency to express themselves through other names, but it's the same spirit. That's how they try to get away with certain things. So it's our responsibility to be sensitive and discerning, to be able to expose, to depart, and to cast it out and remove it. You know, it's our responsibility to make the place a habitation of the Lord. It's our responsibility to make our homes a habitation of the Lord, our rooms a habitation for the Lord. When you get in your car, make it a place of a habitation for the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Why? Because where He is, demons are going to flee. Amen? Praise God. Well, Father, we thank You for Your word. We're honored and blessed, and we ask that You continue to pour out Your Spirit, bring revelation, confirmation, manifestation, and impartation to each and every one. And Lord, as we further grow with You, keep us in a place of humility. Let not pride enter. Let not the false exaltation of self enter. Let not the spirits of Egypt of false religion and false worship enter, Lord. But keep us sensitive and discerning, that we may be well-pleasing to You all of our days. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.